Division of Forestry, and I think my talk hopefully will pair well with what Stephen discussed earlier today. But I'm going to focus on a few of the major insects that we've been dealing with in South Central, although you'll see from some of the maps and things that these are a lot of these really statewide issues. And I should preface this talk also by saying none of these are exclusively projects that the Division of Forestry worked on. These are all cooperative projects, mostly with Forest Health Protection, but often with other cooperators as well. So I'll be talking to you about spruce beetle. I hope everybody has at least some familiarity with that one. Orthosia hibisi, which is a noctuid moth we've been having some issues with. And then I'll wrap up with spruce aphid. So here's a shot from this summer along the Susitna River. I hope you can pick out the red spruce trees there. We saw quite an increase in spruce beetle this year. Here's the statewide map from the aerial surveys that we did this year. We mapped about 193,000 acres of spruce beetle activity. You can see a lot of that's concentrated in the Mat-Su and northwestern Kenai. We've also had kind of persistent activity in the Haines area in southeast, and then kind of scattered around elsewhere. Please note these polygons have been exaggerated, so but it is still quite an impressive amount of damage. So I wanted to show just kind of the last few years of what we've seen in the South Central specifically. And you can see in these various colors that before 2016, we really weren't seeing a whole lot of anything. And we ran some kind of analyses of just the Mat-Su Valley and kind of this area around Beluga Lake and things, and it roughly equates to about an 800% increase in the amount of damage that we're seeing over the course of the last year. And so we will be, so how that plays into the last 20 years or so is this last season was about the most spruce beetle activity that we've documented during the aerial survey since 99. So it is certainly something that we're concerned about. If we look a little shorter time frame there, you can see sometime about 10 years ago there was a bit of an increase in activity, but certainly this is kind of come out of nowhere, it seems. And so we have a slew of projects going on with spruce beetle this year. We've been doing some general trapping and monitoring. We'll be looking at some life stages, whether it's a one-year life cycle, two-year life cycle, or what the mix of those would be, and I'm sure other projects as they come to light. And with that, I will move on to this hardwood defoliation event that we've been monitoring also for a few years. This picture is from the Upper Yetna River Valley, which is within the Susitna River Valley. You can see all that gray there, that is defoliated alder and willow mostly, a little bit of defoliated birch down here kind of in the bottom left of the photo. That's from 2015. We initially started seeing this event in the Upper Yetna around 2014 and have since been documenting very similar looking damage and similar insect activity in these four areas. So we have Lake Clark National Park, of several areas there, Wood Tick Chick State Park, and also around Holy Cross. So we initially, based on past aerial surveys and what we know of the signature of this insect, we presumed that this damage was being caused by Cinerea verberata, which is a native noctuid. Again, it was alder, willow, birch, and cottonwood being affected. So the timeline for kind of the aerial survey side of it is that we initially observed probably 35,000 acres across these four areas. in 2014. In 2015, that jumped up to about 183,000 acres, all expanding from these same areas. And then we saw a slight decrease in that this year. We also initiated some ground efforts, and this has really been an effort that has highlighted, you know, interagency and public cooperation in all these things that we try and do, because we've been getting reports from Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, private individuals, the public radio station in Bethel. I mean, we've heard from all kinds of folks, sending pictures, specimens, and all sorts of things to help us try and figure out what was going on out here. We also had an effort to try and get ourselves out there to collect some specimens and see if we couldn't confirm what is going on out there. So a few things this year, this moth emergence in Bethel, we were able to obtain some specimens, and those were confirmed as Orthosia hibisi. In June, Steve, Garrett, and I flew out to these lakes within Lake Clark National Park and collected specimens. We have all been rearing them. Most of them are still pupae, but Garrett had sent a few off for DNA through that life scanner kit that Matt had mentioned, and those were also confirmed, and then a moth specimen sent from a private individual on Lake Clark was also confirmed as that. So here's a look at Orthosia hibisi. It is a generalist feeder. It feeds on a slew of hardwoods and also lists white spruce as a possible host, though we haven't necessarily seen that, but certainly a lot of our forest trees, commonly a pest of fruit trees. Not that we're coming across a whole lot of those in the woods of Alaska, but and so here's the caterpillars, and we have two color variations. You have this darker one and kind of the greenish one, and some of the literature suggests that color variation can be related to if they're crowded. It was discussed in a lab setting, but we saw quite a pretty fair number that were this dark variation. And so here's kind of a map of the cumulative defoliation that we've been seeing from this. The insets there show kind of the progression of this event over the last several years, and the bottom, of course, is the cumulative defoliation over the last four. So we, based on the evidence we have, we suspect that these are all a similar event, similar species, and will be, or the same species, and we'll be doing some more ground surveys this season to try and tease that out and make, you know, see if there are other players involved. But so far, every specimen that we've tried to ID has been this Orthosia hibisi. And spruce aphid. I hope you can see the tiny green dots on the underside of the needles there. So spruce aphid is a native of Europe, but it's been in North America for roughly 100 years, I believe. And long established in Southeast Alaska. It's been a problem there in Sitka spruce for 50, 60 years, something like that. So first reported on the Western Kenai in 2015, and so that's kind of what I was going to focus on here today. But this map just shows you through 2015, this is where it had been documented during our annual aerial survey. So you can see commonly activity in Southeast, occasionally some in Prince William Sound, also on Kodiak Island, and then we see it showing up on the Western Kenai there in 2015.
What's the pink, Jason?
The pink is other years.
Prior to? Or?
Yeah, it would be prior to that, yeah. And then this is the look at it this season, or this last season. So spruce aphid favors mild winters, so it seems to do well, and we've had no shortage of mild winters as of late, it seems. So we did see quite a bit of activity with spruce aphid this year, all across Southeast there. We didn't get a chance to fly the interior of Prince William Sound. It may well have been there active as well, but certainly along the outer islands, and you can see there that now it's ringing Kachemak Bay. Also several islands in the Kodiak Archipelago. So the aerial survey side of that, you know, in 2015 when we observed this on the south side of Kachemak Bay, it was really concentrated at Halibut Cove, and we didn't map it hardly anywhere outside of that. It was present at that time in Homer on the north side of the bay, but really kind of minor, not very noticeable. By last year, much more severe in Homer and increasingly severe on the south side of the bay as well. But certainly we've gone up in acres quite a lot. So here's kind of a shot of the Kenai area specifically, and you can see, I think you lose it in a few places here along the edge because there wasn't coast, but it's really extensive in that area. So the ground efforts, you know, between Forest Health Protection, Division of Forestry, Cooperative Extension, a lot of agencies in play here. We conducted a number of field visits to Homer specifically to confirm the aphid. Matt helped with some of the DNA work on that, and we also had morphological ID, and all came back as spruce aphid. We're going to continue to investigate the range of this, how far it's gone, if it's how well it's doing, I guess. So far, it has been really confined to the Sitka spruce. We have seen it on a few blue spruce that were planted right next to the water there in Homer, but not doing nearly the damage on those. And so there's definitely a concern of this moving north and into more Lutt spruce or white spruce and things such as that. So we will be monitoring that. Here's just a look at the places we have visited on the ground and confirmed it are there in the red squares. The orange squares are all the areas that we mapped it during aerial survey. So it is definitely moving up the peninsula there. So we'll be continuing a lot of this work in the coming season. And with that, I will leave you with this photo of what that actually looks like on the ground here at Halibut Cove. This was from a couple of years ago, but you can see nearly every spruce in there affected. So with that, I will take any questions.
Derek. So how sick did the spruce get? I mean, if Southeast has been, you know, hosting this species right for decades now, and they're...
Well, so spruce aphid affects the older needles, and so these trees typically don't die. And so they can survive, and they do, and they've had, maybe one of these other guys knows the number, but they've had very limited mortality in Southeast. I don't know if you remember, Roger.
Significant mortality in the Southeastern outbreak, Southeast Alaska outbreaks in early 2000s. I can't remember when it started, but it really picked up.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen any here yet.
We haven't seen any evidence that it's killing trees on the Kenai.
They don't do special surveys to determine mortality. Unless it's in the ground shack, it'll fly over there in the season.
We will be initiating such things this year. So definitely plans to get on the south side of the bay and see if those trees are succumbing to other things. Another concern would be that these trees are weakened enough that spruce beetle or something like that might come in. And so we're going to,
the greater risk.
Right. So we'll be looking into that. But my understanding is most of the trees tend to survive. So that's the message we've been looking to. So.
And another question on the spruce and the Kenai. I don't know that much about it, but I remember the story about why the 1990s outbreak of spruce bark beetle collapsed was they ran out of food on the Kenai. It kind of killed all the appropriately sized spruce. But you're still picking up in the northwest of the Kenai spruce beetle outbreak, so clearly there's still stands of spruce, or maybe these are just becoming mature enough now that
most likely.
Well, so that's one of the questions that we've been getting, you know, are these attacking trees that are just now becoming susceptible or trees that survived the initial thing? I will also note that most of the stands that we're seeing this in are not pure spruce. They're real scattered spruce and stuff, so it may have been they weren't hit to begin with. And, you know, I don't know that we've looked, you know, we haven't done any specific study to determine if which is the actual, which is actually occurring, but, you know, anecdotally, some of those trees that we've seen this in are substantial size trees, and I would bet that they were there 20 years ago and still big enough. So, you know, it's hard to say. Certainly something to look into.
Yeah, some of it depends on where on the Kenai Peninsula you look at. So in the southern Kenai, like between Testamina Lake and Cashmack Bay, that's where the bird mortality from the 90s outbreak was almost 100%. Still to this day, you fly over that, it's all spruce trees that are down and a lot of grass here. You know, that's where we're doing our grassland study this year, and 2015. But on the northern peninsula, where you see more of the damage now, there was spruce back or fatal mortality up there, but it was a lot more patchy. So there are a lot more mature trees still left there. And that's what we're seeing now.
But I think the southern peninsula trees were predominantly spruce and predominantly of the size class that was most susceptible to successful breeding attack.
And there are some discussions.
Pure stands. There was nothing else in stands.
There was a cultural difference too, though, because in the southern part they pretty much took out all the trees, whether they had spruce beetle or not. They just like harvested everything there.
Yeah, but they were on the redbush.
They were primarily rice in the main center of the area. And rice were the most susceptible.
Yeah, even on the you know, refuge part, you know, it's almost 100% mortality. Those spruce had a lot more LUTs, more sitka in their blood. So if there's a gradient on the Kenai too. As you go north, it's more mature, more white spruce. Actually, we're working on genetics right now, of spruce genetics across the peninsula, but that's what we're seeing, is that northern peninsula is a lot more like interior, and the genetics is a lot more white. As you move south, you get more and more sitka. So by the time you get to Homer and Palmet Cove, it's pretty much pure sitka. The hybridization zone is that southern Kenai between Cashmack Bay and the lakes.
And how's the spruce beetle doing on the refuge?
Picking up.
Yeah. A lot of that was on.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think you're going to see the next epidemic is building. It's starting to build. You're in.